Lord, take my mind now and think through me. Take my heart and love through me. Take my lips and speak through me your words to teach and touch our hearts, that we may glorify you in our lives, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please sit down. Last Sunday, Stephen reminded us that since celebrating Easter, we've been looking at events in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, none of which could have happened had Jesus not been raised from the dead. He told us particularly about Paul coming to Philippi, and he told us about Lydia, the first of three particular people to be touched by Jesus while he was there. So today we're looking at the other two, a slave girl and the Philippian jailer. But some facts about Philippi first. Not only was it a city in the Roman Empire, it was specifically a Roman colony. Its citizens were equivalent to being citizens of Rome itself. Many were ex-military. They were proud of being Romans. They dressed like Romans, and they obeyed Roman law just as though they were living in Rome. When the Emperor Claudius had expelled the Jews from Rome in AD 49, Philippi also expelled the Jews. So those who were left would have simply have been the wives from mixed marriages. So even were there a synagogue in Philippi, it would not now be functioning. So let's look at the first of these two people, the slave girl. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, so Luke begins our passage. Now, at first sight of Acts 16, you could be forgiven for thinking that Paul's visit was actually quite a short one, a week, not much more. And look at verse 12, and he states, "We stayed there several days." But verse 16, that this once we've just read, and in verse 18, he talks of many days, suggest a much longer period than that, something of at least a month, I would think. And as for the place of prayer they were going to, when there's no synagogue, the Jews traditionally would pray together out of doors and near running water. I haven't got to the bottom of that one yet. On the way to the place of prayer, Paul and his party were met by the slave girl. She had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. So she was clearly a very valuable possession of theirs. Now this spirit was demonic. It had presumably given the girl the gift of clairvoyance. And obviously, she was an accepted part of Philippian society since she told people's fortunes. And this girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Now, was she hoping that Paul would give her money to shut her up? We don't know. Initially, Paul seemed unconcerned, but finally he became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, note he addressed the spirit and not the girl. He said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And immediately the spirit left her. That exorcism must have been witnessed by and must have caused a stir among all the people present. Ooh, he's driven out the spirit from her. Ooh, he's got supernatural power. I bet this news would spread like wildfire to every corner of Philippi. When the owners of the slave girl realized their hope of making money was gone, Paul and Silas were seized and dragged before the authorities. And the authorities were told, "These men are Jews." And They're throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or to practice. Charges both false and vague, and designed to stir up the crowd, which they did, because the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Anti-Semitism never changes. On hearing the charges, the clothes were stripped off Paul and Silas, which was Roman practice, and they were severely beaten with rods. But note, there's no following of proper procedure. There's no mention of a trial. There was no opportunity for Paul to explain that they were Roman citizens and therefore exempt from being beaten. It suggests that the authorities just assumed their guilt, took advantage of the anti-Jewish feelings of the crowd, and administered summary justice, and then interned the prisoners overnight, sent them away in the morning. Which brings us to the Philippian jailer. He would have known about the slave girl, he would have known about her fortune telling, and he probably knew about what she had shouted about Paul and the others. And he would have heard how Paul had exorcised that spirit, and therefore of Paul's power to do just that. So when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, the jailer was commanded, "Guard them carefully." So he put them in the inmost, securest part of the prison, locked their feet in the stocks, which must have been extremely uncomfortable. If you think about it, you're sitting there, your legs are straight out in front of you. And had there been a wall behind them to lean against, it would have been too painful to lean against because of their backs, which had been beaten. So no sleep for Paul and Silas that night. Instead, they displayed their trust in God in prayer and in praise. The other prisoners were listening to them. So they would have seen that what happened next was a result of Paul and Silas's faith in an all-powerful God. Because suddenly, such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. All the doors, secured only with a bar on the outside, flew open. Everybody's chains came loose. So it was only the fetters attached to the prisoners' arms and legs that were still intact and actually would have made escape quite difficult. Roused from sleep and realizing that the prison doors were open, the jailer assumed that the prisoners had all escaped. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But why? If it had been through his negligence, he was justified in killing himself. But an earthquake? No. I suggest that shock and the knowledge of Paul's supernatural power had just momentarily deranged his mind. But he was interrupted by Paul's voice. "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." How Paul could have known that, we're not told. But he did. The jailer called for torches, rushed into the prison, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Was that obeisance? Was it worship? He clearly regarded Paul and Silas as the cause of the earthquake. And he asked, "Sirs, what must I do? What must I do to be saved?" Echoing the slave girl's words, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." Circumstances, therefore, have forced the jailer to face up to his need to come to terms with Paul's God. And Paul's reply is a classic Christian response. "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and all your household." What followed, we might today call baptism preparation. They spoke the word of God to him, and to all the others in his house. In other words, they spoke about how Jesus had come in the flesh to die for sinners, and how he had been raised from the dead and was therefore alive, and how he offers eternal life to all who believe. And Luke implies that this was joyfully received. But note, especially note, how for Paul and Silas the urgency of the gospel took precedence over everything else. The washing and dressing of their bruised and bloodied backs came after they preached the gospel. The jailer taking them into his house and setting a meal before them came after the gospel. An expression, surely, of Christian fellowship and joy. So, in conclusion, where had this amazing change of heart and change of attitude in Peter come from? In the jailer, where had he come from? And the answer, of course, is it had come from the Lord. Look at how he'd used each event. The jailer's knowledge about the slave girl and what she had shouted about Paul and Silas. Paul's exorcising of the girl's demonic spirit. The arrest, the beating and imprisonment of Paul and Silas. The jailer's taking special care in locking up Paul and Silas. And Paul's and Silas's prayers and praises. And then the earthquake. The Lord used each one of these to change the jailer from being a pagan Roman official to becoming a Christian Roman official. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. He was on a spiritual high. Amen.